Dynasty Theory is now a proud member of the DLF family of podcasts, and we could not be more excited. Tune in each and every week when we provide actionable advice to help you navigate through the crazy world of Dynasty Fantasy Football. We're always diving into quickly changing values, market inefficiencies, and opportunities to help you build those dynasties. Make sure you also check out the show on Twitter and Instagram at Dynasty Theory FF. Enjoy.
Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me saying got em. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn. For the feeling I earn, all my winners will turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russell Rocky.
Other names, trade at X5, let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Pichella, and I also have a trading problem.
I am Jake Trailbridge, and I, three, have a trading problem.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to session 246 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts, also a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, the DAP Network, if you will, and we will. Man, the season's over. It is non-point scoring season. It's here. We are past the drama. We are paid out. We are on to next year. I have, at least as a commissioner, I have rolled over all my league safes. I did all the payouts. I posted all of the full draft orders. I created the 113s for all of the toilet bowl winners. Ugh. Get over it. You're just dead because you lost the TA6. And like, it's here. Like, there is nothing left for me to do for 2022. It is 2023, and I'm here for it. I'm ready for it. When we talk about trades, we can use pick numbers. No more of this early or late garbage. I love it. Picks are in the DLF trade analyzer now. Like, it is here. It is time. I hate point scoring season. I'm so bad at it.
Now we have 4 months of talking about rookie season.
Yes. Yes. But before we do that, before we move on, Jake, I know you've been here before, but still, why don't you tell everyone who you are, what you do, and where they could find what you do?
Certainly. If you forgot, because it's been a while.
It's been a little while.
I was about ready to be insulted. If it had been too much longer before you'd welcomed me back, I would have felt insulted. But as it stands, I'm just happy to be here. I am Jake Trowbridge. I'm at Jake Trowbridge on Twitter. I co-host the Drinking and Talking Fantasy Football podcast with Dustin Lunt. I co-host the Ball Blast Fantasy Football podcast with Kate and Michelle Majuk. And I am a contributor to Matthew Berry's Fantasy Life newsletter, and more relevantly, his Twitter, where you can find my doofy-ass videos.
Fantastically funny doofy-ass videos.
Oh, thank you.
I need to point out that your Drinking and Talking Fantasy Football co-host was watching us record, waited to hear you insult him, and then left. He's gone.
That's
now
all he needed, yep. Baby. He just needed to make sure that I knew to insult him at the appropriate time, and then he skedaddled.
That's how in step you guys are. Like, so if you've never listened to Drinking and Talking Fantasy Football, first of all, go do that. But like, there is just a peek at how in sync they are. They know when they're going to insult each other. Not even on their show. When one person is on one show and the other person can just log in to watch.
We're so in sync. We are the Justin Timberlake and one of the other guys of NSYNC. That is who we are. And I won't say who's who.
There are. Do they have names? The other guys,
Lance. I believe there's a
That's
Lance.
Right. Lance Bass was one of them.
I'll okay. take Lance.
Was Joey Fatone in sync?
Joey Fatone. There you go. That's probably a third. I think we haven't vetted it, but I think that's a third.
We're gonna call ourselves winners in this game and move on because there's nowhere to there's no good way to go from here.
It's fair.
Okay, so speaking of no good way to go from here, the day Monday after the last day of the regular season in the NFL is darkly and rightfully named Black Monday because it is the day a lot of coaches get fired, and I'm just gonna list them down, and I guess you know we'll talk about anything that. Either we're surprised, we're not surprised, or anything we think has any sort of fantasy, especially dynasty, impact. The Cardinals fired Cliff Kingsbury. The Texans fired Lovie Smith. The Broncos fired Nathaniel Hackett. I just copied down a list, and it had the Colts firing Frank Reich, but like that happened a long time ago, but okay. And then the Panthers fired Matt Rhule.
Which also happened a while ago.
Exactly, but I didn't write that part down. So, first of all, I forget this until I ever see it written down. Do you think Cliff Kingsbury's first name, Cliff, is actually spelled with a K, or does he think that makes him cool to change it from a C to a K? He seems like the kind of guy that changed it.
Oh my God, I think he changed it. I've never thought about that before.
I hadn't either, but I think you're onto something, Russ.
And that says a lot. That just, yeah.
He wears his sunglasses inside and he spells it with a K on purpose, erroneously. I think you're right.
We're painting a very broad picture that is getting more and more detailed as we go on of Cliff Kingsbury. And
maybe he's the fifth member of NSYNC.
Oh, shit.
Oh, I hope I. You know, he's young enough looking that I wouldn't be shocked. Like, if you inserted him Photoshop wise into like one of their early album covers, I wouldn't be shocked. I wouldn't be like that guy.
Nice hair, right? Like, I think he could do it.
Yeah, he could absolutely. Also, I always think of him as Cliff Pillsbury. I hope that there is one other person out there who feels that way, but I don't.
Like. Everybody lines. Everybody goes to the Cardinal practice. Oh, Mr. Kingsbury, how's it going? Mr. Like shaking hands, and Jake just goes.
I hope I'm not alone.
And there are so many people that don't even know what the hell the Pillsbury Doughboy is right now. That just hurts my feelings. Okay, let's move on with the stupid things I have to say. Do you think Lovie Smith just completely got fired for winning that game?
Oh, totally. He even went for two at the end just to like totally like screw them. Like he could have tied it and still lost in overtime, but no.
Lovie Smith made perfect sense to have as a bridge coach to keep the locker room intact, I guess, like bring stability or whatever horrible cliche you want. Like I saw them hire Lovie Smith and I'm like, yeah, you keep him there until you get the off, you know, you find that offensive guy or, you know, the next guy that you want. And you have him there because he knows what he's doing and has been not bad as a coach for a long time. And like, to me, that was perfect. But I figured it would be like 2-3 seasons and he's fired. And it, the only reason I could think of it's because they won and they shouldn't have.
I feel like he was giving double guns on the way out and was just like, no, peace out. But I agree. I thought he would stick around short term. I didn't think short term would be one season. I thought it would be, like you said, at least a couple. Because here's my conundrum with this. That team, nobody knows what it is still right now. Wouldn't you have the coach stick around until the roster is somewhat solidified and like see that part of it through? And then they're just like, no, you're done. We're going to restart this whole thing again next year, and we still don't know what the team looks like.
Yeah, like the only thing I could think of is whoever, like, I don't, Stroud or Young, whoever is like the consensus one, like maybe they just like the second guy better, and they have a coach in mind waiting and ready for whoever the quarterback is that they want. But yeah, it just, it seems so... What? poor like,
Texans. Yeah, being
it's funny.
Texans,
the year before too, Culley had them playing better than anybody thought they should, and then they fired him. So I think they're firing coaches for doing too well.
Yeah, it's funny.
Strategy.
It's a hell of a with a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see how it works.
Can't even tank right. I mean, it's not great. But like, really, there was no like. Usually, I feel like there's one every once in a while where at least you're like, yeah, I mean, maybe I could have seen that, but I didn't really need to. Like, no, all of these we saw happening, and I don't know if that's reassuring. Like, things finally went the way they were supposed to, or if it's just like, oh, that's boring. Okay, because like, it especially sucks for us right now because I don't think any of this really matters much for fantasy football's sake, except for like Kingsbury and Rhule might go somewhere and be good offensive coordinators again. And like, that's good. You know, that's good for the league, but clearly it's nothing we can talk about right now. And none of these offenses, well, besides the Cardinals, and the Cardinals are even still in a weird spot with Kyler, that it's just like, it's not like we can say, oh, they're going to come in and do this, because they're going to come in and, unless we're talking about them moving Kyler after signing him, like pulling an OBJ, but with a 6 times more expensive contract, like it's moving him the next year. They're just in waiting for a couple of months after the season starts. So I guess, Jake, does any of this mean anything to you fantasy football wise?
Well, I was going to ask about the only prevalent one in my mind, which is Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah.
Because with Cliff Kingsbury, it's not just about him. It's about what the domino effect looks like. Like, we've already heard reports that DeAndre Hopkins might be traded out. And then, again, we don't know Kyler Murray's status. Maybe he pulls the Joe Burrow and is somehow back for week one, but probably not. And it's just like, there's a lot of pieces, like James Conner is getting up there for a running back. If you have a very big decision as the Cardinals ownership of what you're going to do, and it could very easily go either direction. So I'm in limbo, like in terms of trading for or trading away these guys. Kyler is, I'm going to hold him, and maybe I'll make him a trade low candidate, like go after him with the uncertainty. Everybody else, I don't know what to do.
I mean, at this point, the only thing I could think of is hope. Like, a player gets traded or drafted by a bad place, a wide receiver at least, and we're always like, let's stick with talent over situation. So like, Rocky and I are big Marquise Brown fans. Yep. So like, I'm still going to be happy about Marquise Brown. I'm still going to value him the same as I did before. But it's going to be rough because we don't, like you said, we don't know. And it's Cliff Kingsbury, after years of trying, finally got the wide receiver core he needed to run his system, and just everything fell to hell. Like, so like, you're right. Like, Hopkins might end up going somewhere. And if they do send Kyler somewhere, you have to figure Marquise Brown is going to try and work his way out of town because he went there for, like, this could get, you're right, this could get ugly. And there's no way to know. There's no reason for any of this to happen quickly is the more annoying part for us. Mm-hmm. So we are going to sit here in speculation. And like, I think you're right. Like, you know, Kyler is good. You know, Kyler is what he is, regardless of who is running that offense. Because even when Kingsbury first got there and was making it up as he was going along, Kyler was still doing really well. Kingsbury started to run his offense. When Kyler was healthy, Kyler was doing really well. Marquise Brown is talented. He was doing well on the non-passing Ravens with a Lamar isn't the greatest deep passer. He was still doing well. He went to the Cardinals and was doing really well. So I'm fine keeping my faith in Marquise Brown. I still believe in Trey McBride, though you don't really have to pay much to get him anyway. But yeah, the James Conner thing is a little sad because like, he never had much dynasty value, but it was fun seeing him do well. And if he stays, if he goes, it's not going to be the same, I don't think. So, I mean, that's a little sad.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Kyler goes anywhere. And I do think, I mean, yes, there's uncertainty, but it could be better. For years there was sort of complaints about the Kingsbury offense and all this stuff. Yeah. So when Kyler back healthy, and if Hopkins goes, like you said, Wheels up for Hollywood, in my opinion.
Wheels up for
Hollywood.
As long
as Kyler is still there. I mean, we saw at the beginning of the year, I think he was basically a wide receiver one during those weeks without Hopkins. So if Kyler's there, I don't expect him to be much like any worse because Kingsbury's gone. So I do, and we've talked about it once the Kyler injury happened. I kind of do like him as a buy low. I think I like him more than most people do. And especially now that he's more affordable, he's more someone that I might actually go after since I don't generally pay up for quarterback. But we talked about this when it happened because it actually happened a couple weeks ago. But I was also going to mention, I do think there could be like a sort of Urban Meyer effect of removing Nathaniel Hackett from the Broncos. So I'm very interested to see how that plays. I mean, we won't know until the point scoring season again, really. I don't think it will be very interesting if they bring Sean Payton in, which they've already talked to him. But I just think the removal of Hackett himself is almost like kind of what we saw for Trevor Lawrence this year. Just getting Meyer out of there probably made a huge difference.
Yeah, I will latch on to anything that will make me happy to believe that Russell Wilson might not be bad in real life.
I can't believe he's that bad. Like he was inconsistent at times in Seattle. He was not bad, and he was bad this year.
So I'm all for blaming Nathaniel Hackett, and that no matter. And oh man, if they do bring in Sean Payton, like it was funny. The one thing is that like at least we know Sean Payton can handle short quarterbacks.
You know, this might be me having too many shares, overlapping shares of Kyler Murray and Russell Wilson, but I really want to believe that both of them are buy low candidates in Dynasty right now. My question about Russ, though, from a practical standpoint, we want to apply the Urban Meyer principle to him, which I get, and I want to do as well, but he is a 33-year-old quarterback at this point. Doesn't it feel like Russell should have been able to figure something out? I know it can happen to anybody. I understand, but like Trevor Lawrence, first year in the league, like yeah, you got to give him a lot of leeway. And Urban Meyer is so bad, and maybe Nathaniel Hackett is that bad, as bad as Urban Meyer, which he could be. But it just feels like Russell, couldn't you have done something with this?
Is Russell Wilson as lame as he seems to be, where he wouldn't even improvise on his own on the field? Nope, they called that play. I'm running that play. That's what we're doing. Like, is he that much of a goody-goody that he will just, even if he can't do it, go out and still run? I want to believe, like, I've seen too many sports movies that in my heart I want it to be like that not true, where the last play of the season, he's like, I'm doing this my way. I want the ball, Coach Winters always do. You know, like, but yeah, there was not really any of that. So again, I will latch on to anything that will make me believe that Russell Wilson just isn't bad.
Yeah, and I get what you're saying, Jake. I just, kind of the inverse of that to me is just, though, I can't believe after what we saw for 10 years that he just fell off the face of the earth this year at 33.
Maybe he just needs 38 the altitude.
Like, yeah. Like, you can't get the ball to go right. It's
the altitude. I mean, AFC, NFC, they almost never went over there. You know, so maybe it's just, you know, he needed a season to just adapt. Again,
now that he's got down the elevation, it's all
I will grasp at any straw someone points at me.
But like that core, do we at least feel like the Denver Broncos core offense seems to be the most stagnant of any of the group that we've talked about in terms of the coaches going away? Like there, Cortland Sutton's going to be there, like him or not. Jerry Judy's going to be there. Javonte Williams is going to be there. Those guys, and I guess if we're really into the Dulcich train, which I am, he's still going to be there.
He's doing really well, even when the team is doing bad.
Right, so at least he has a core. Like, whatever coach comes in, like, that stuff's staying the same, so that's something.
And, like, a coach has, assuming rational GMing, which is, like, the dumbest thing to do when we're talking about the NFL, like, at this point, especially with how poorly things went, you have to be like, what coach will do best with Russell Wilson, Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, Greg Dulcich, and whatever the hell else we have? Like, they need to tailor this to what they have. But again, assuming they try to be intelligent, which
tough spot,
always a big assumption.
You can't assume. All right. So what else is there? Nothing. Nothing. Okay. So we always let our guests choose. Jake, do you want to do listener questions or trade addicts trades first?
I'm so into listener questions right now. Let's fire them off.
Okay, so when I sent out the tweet, hold on, I need to actually get the proper order of all the crap I said because people numbered their answers. Okay, so I said, what should we talk about? What should Rocky ask him? Because I always have to find a way to tag Rocky in this. So, so I just find a stupid way to work his name into it.
Am I actually going to ask these two questions?
Heck yeah, you are. Well, there's only one that's really asking a question, so whatever. What is your New Year's resolution? What is your favorite donut? And what is your favorite alcoholic beverage? Oh, yeah, and what players are you trading for? So, but actually, no, screw that. Before we listen, we ask the listeners, Jake, what was your New Year's resolution?
I don't do New Year's resolutions. What I do is when the clock rolls over to the new year, I thank myself for getting to the new year, and then I move on.
You survived, buddy.
That's it. And that's my – I'll call it my resolution then. It's just get through to the next year, buddy. You got it.
Favorite donut?
Donut is it's a big topic of conversation for me. First of all, if I were to choose a dessert to have for the rest of my life, it would be donut. Okay. And I know that is not popular. I love donuts. They're the breakfast dessert, but you can have them at any time of the day. It's the most perfect ideal. It's the best idea anybody's ever had in my lifetime. It's a donut. I love jelly donuts. I love a jelly donut. Like that is my 101 if we want to go that way. I love it. But any sort of like, even like a cream Bavarian filled donut, I love it all. It's so good.
What is your favorite alcoholic beverage?
I am big into bourbon right now. I drink beer most often because it's easy, it's accessible, but I love bourbon and I'll drink it by itself. You can mix it up a little bit. In Wisconsin here, the old fashioned uses brandy, but I like to still use whiskey and bourbon.
Yes. See, I'm a big whiskey drinker. I'm not a bourbon guy. Bourbon is a little too sharp for me. But I love me a whiskey old fashioned. Like that is my jam. Well, I just answered that question. And what players are you trading for right now?
We hinted at him a little bit. Kyler Murray is one. Russell Wilson is two. It's based purely on their cheapness. Yeah, that's all it is right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
But they're great values, I think.
Okay. And Rocky, we'll do ours at the end. I'm tired of talking. Rocky, you go. You read these.
What am I reading? The question for Jake?
Yeah.
What does this mean? Will we see annexation of Puerto Rico in playoffs?
Oh, you're the worst. All right, I'm going to read this. All right, well, okay. So the first one is from at Eric John Flynn.
Is that from a movie or something? I don't get it.
Oh, you're the worst.
Rocky. He might kick you off of this podcast, Rocky.
All right.
I'm sorry.
First, let's go in order. He says,
"This is gonna be another movie I should have seen already."
We do not often talk about taking over the world. We just do it. We don't talk about it. We just do. Do or do not. There is no try. I had to explain that to my daughter tonight, weirdly enough, like what that meant. She's like, "What do you mean there's no try?" And I'm like, either you just go and you go and it works or it doesn't. But you don't have to worry about trying. It's just about going and doing. Or just
she's a non-Star Wars person too. She at least has room to grow into it.
She is
had the seven. Room and I haven't done it.
Yeah.
It's more excuse. I get it.
So yes. The next one is, will we see the annexation of Puerto Rico in the playoffs? Rocky, your homework for tonight. Go watch Little Giants.
Oh my god, I've never seen Little Giants. No.
Go watch Little Giants.
I've also gotten ripped because I've never seen Draft Day.
Okay, but
that came up
with the fact that it's a football movie. Little Giants is just fantastic. It only helps that it's a football movie. I mean, it's Ed O'Neill and Rick Moranis.
I'm aware of it. Yeah, I've just never seen it.
You really should go watch it.
I'm gonna get ripped in the Cool Kids Club when this gets watched by the people.
John Madden's in it for like 3 minutes. It's great.
That's right. That's right. Star-studded cast.
Yeah,
really. It can't get any better.
You can't beat a Rick Moranis movie.
No.
And I believe that they're referring to with the annexation of Puerto Rico. I think that's a spin on the Chiefs and their wild play that they did this last week, where they all got into a huddle on the field and then they span around, right? And then they just lined up really fast to try to confuse the defense and catch them off guard. So they didn't know that Patrick Mahomes was playing running back there, because it's just some guy apparently sitting in front of them.
The annexation of Puerto Rico was they hike the ball and the quarterback just puts the ball underneath the center's legs and, you know, fakes a handoff. The running back runs, everyone tackles him. And then when everyone's running after the running back, the center just picks up the ball and starts running.
So magic trick.
He titled the play "The Annexation of Puerto Rico."
By the way, is there any movie you haven't seen?
In the 90s to like 2003, no.
Okay.
How about Brink? This is an obscure one. Brink is a Disney film. It's about downhill skaters. I want to really put this to the test. Have you seen Brink? Huh?
There's some early. I will not remember a thing about it, but I've seen it.
That's right. Hilarious. I've never even heard of
it. I forgot that movie existed. And you're like, Brink. I'm like, what the hell is that? And you're like, downhill skateboard. Like, I've seen that.
I'm not saying it's good, but no. It's out there. And you've seen it. So that's all that matters.
Yeah. Oh, well, first of all, I was always a huge nerd. So like all kids are going out and doing things, and computers in houses started to become a thing when I was in like six-ish grade. So I was screwed. Like, I was not leaving the house. So I had a computer. I had I had two TVs in my room, one for movies, one for video games. So like,
why don't you brag about it a little bit more?
Aren't you fancy, Russ? Jeez.
I never went anywhere. Oh yeah. I took someone's broken TV that couldn't get any like reception into it. So all you need to do is plug your VCR into it and it worked. You know, like, you see, yeah, VCR, take that, young kid.
What's a VCR?
And then once high school came around, my brother got a job in a movie theater. So I got in for free from then I started working there. And then my best friend worked there for a bunch of years afterwards. So there was like literally a decade where I did not pay for movies.
And you watched all of them.
I watched all of them, even if I didn't want to, because I could. Like, me and my best friend, he pretty much lived at my house, and we both worked at the theater, and only I had a car. So whenever either of us would work the morning, one of us would work the morning, one of us would work the afternoon, we would both just go for the day, and one would sit and watch movies while the other one worked, and then we would just switch.
It's amazing. I never want to play you in Trivial Pursuit, especially if it's a movie-themed version.
In the early 2000s, there was, what was it, like, Seen It, I think was the name of the board games that came out. We're like, oh, yeah, nobody wanted to play. Like, I used to play against teams of, like, four and still win, because I just knew so much dumb shit about movies.
Rocky, I would like to play you in that, because you haven't seen Little Giants. So I think I could take you and Seen It. That's my only basis for it.
Well, we'll have to play over FaceTime, Jake.
It'll be great and not infuriating at all.
Okay, so to move on with Eric's questions and somewhat back to fantasy football at some point, I asked, what is your New Year's resolution? He just said, no thanks. I asked, what is his favorite donut? He said, not applicable.
Oh, no donut really. Fan. Okay.
Doesn't eat donuts.
What is his favorite alcoholic beverage? He said whiskey. So at least we got that going. What are the players he is looking for? Drake London, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and Trevor Lawrence. I agree. Like, I am all over Trevor Lawrence in every way, shape, or form. Like, the entire season I've been like ready for it, because he's good. He couldn't have been that bad, in which case he could only get better, in which case his value could only go up. And there were some times throughout the season where he looks really good. And the thing is, what makes me happy, really the wrong phrasing, like he didn't look great for the last few games of the season, especially for fantasy. So people might not be enamored with him at all. Like, especially if they just go like one and done in the playoffs and he's out, I'm probably going to try and get Trevor Lawrence in like every single league.
I love that. Can I quickly throw in as an add-on that I just realized, Calvin Ridley for the next month, maybe 2 months, is kind of the guy to go after before it's yes. dawning realization of like, he's hooking up with Trevor Lawrence.
Yes.
You're speaking Russ's language.
So much speaking my language. All I need is for, at the end of the 23 season, T. Higgins to go over to Jacksonville. So I have, not only do I have Higgins and Ridley on the same NFL team, but I got some Clemson connection going on between quarterback and wide receiver and running back. And it's just like, I'm a Jaguars fan. That's fine.
Beautiful.
Like, I will paint a Jaguar on my face or something. Like, I don't know. I didn't know where I was
already a Jaguars fan, Russ.
What?
But to think between Trevor Lawrence and Kirk, you're pretty much there almost.
Oh, yeah. Christian Kirk. That was my dude for a while, too.
Yeah.
But okay, I want to ask Amon-Ra St. Brown. You've seen him a few times. Do you think he's a top five dynasty wide receiver?
I thought it was interesting that they included him as part of their answer, because the other two like made so much sense to me. Amon-Ra St. Brown, I don't know how to gauge his value right now. If it's compared to last offseason at this time, it feels like it's shot through the roof, because if you were like me last offseason at this time, and I said he's a product of a lack of competition, then you missed out. And now the price is going to be substantially higher to get him, but I still don't really know what the price is. And so maybe he still is of value, because I don't know if everybody's accepted it necessarily.
So he finished the season in points per game, wide receiver 9.
Yep, I was just
a little over 17 points per game. Let me pull up that mock and see where he went. Oh, I have two of them because I just get brought into the DLF mocks at this point. Let's pull up wide receivers. Amon-Ra St. Brown in a one quarterback league. No, this is Superflex. Was drafted 206 at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Wide receiver 6 at the 206. And then in a 1QB mock, let me click the right button so I can actually get to it. Draft 7th overall.
Wow.
Wide receiver 7.
I guess I still feel like I'm not bought in at that ADP. I don't know. Rocky, talk me off a ledge. I feel stupid, but I don't feel like I'm bought in at that ADP.
Yeah, I just I'm right around that ADP. I think I was actually going to, maybe after I talk a little bit here, we can maybe do the game, Russ. I mean, he did it at the end of last year. Like you said, everybody blamed the lack of competition, and he wasn't at that level. So the lack of competition did boost him. I mean, he was like Davante Adams level for like the last 6 games of 2021. But he did it at the end this year. And for a lot of the season, Hawk was there. Jameson Williams obviously wasn't, but I don't think Jameson Williams is going to hurt him too much. They play totally different roles.
Exactly.
And Goff, I think it's going to be there still, and Goff loves him and is a legit quarterback at this point. He's not trash. I mean, everybody, we all treat him as trash, and nobody really wants to acquire Jared Goff, but I want a redraft title with Jared Goff down the stretch. He was putting up points all over the place. So I'm in on Amon-Ra St. Brown. I he's young. The only thing he's got going against him is his lack of draft capital. Which, you know, he's a 4th round pick. But if he was a 35 overall and was doing what he was doing, his value would be even higher than it is now.
You know, if he was taller, because he's, you know, that too. He's still can't respect, you know, the slot receivers. They need to be X types. The DLF trade analyzer has him in between the 101 and 102, much closer to the 102 than the 101.
Okay. I was going to say, I don't know. Bijan Robinson versus.
Bijan is going to be in the first round. But again, he was drafted in this mock at 206. So
I don't know if I take him over the QB one.
With
Pitt, in the rookie QB one.
I mean, in a draft, maybe I would. Would I trade the 102 for Amon-Ra St. Brown right now? Probably not. 103? Probably. Like, four, definitely.
Yes.
Like, yeah. Because as of right now, it's Bijan, two quarterbacks. And then you have at that point your choice of, I'm just going to stick with positions, like RB2 or wide receiver one. But like at that point, what would you want out of wide receiver one that you're drafting? You would be thrilled if he turned into Amon-Ra St. Brown. Like, why wouldn't you make that trade? I mean, unless you just happen to super be into Smith and Jigbo or Addison or something like that. Unless you like that specific player, like, you should be thrilled to get a wide receiver nine.
Yeah,
and someone who's done it for
you like that player, a season and a half. You should take the give. I mean, there's a lot of players we've liked that have gone in the top five of rookie drafts that have not done crap. So, I mean, N'Keal Harry was the 101 a couple years ago.
But also, doesn't it feel like there's not as much zest for this rookie class anyways in that way right now? Like, I don't feel the same way about whoever you think is the wide receiver one for this class as I did last year, the year before. Maybe that's just me. Maybe that's just me not being clued in enough. But, like, it feels like, yes, I would take Amon-Ra St. Brown over them because the question marks seem to be much thicker with them.
Well, I think we have – well, there's no Ja'Marr Chase. Like, yeah. From what I'm seeing, reading here – I don't read. there doesn't seem to be a Ja'Marr Chase, but there seems to be a large chunk of those guys from last year. Like, the – Garrett Wilson's, Drake London's, and Treylon, but like a lot of those. In which case, it gets a little murky because, like, at first, like, we had Breece and then all of those guys, and then it, yeah, okay. But now we have, like, supposedly Bijan by himself, the two quarterbacks, and then, like, a tier of, like, six to seven people where even, like, we have no idea what to do with them. But before last year's draft, it still seemed like everyone had those wide receivers ranked there and they stayed there after the draft. Like, nothing really seemed to happen. Like, I think the real difference is people's minds were made up on last year's draftable players very quickly. And I think that's what the difference is right now.
And I think another difference to kind of what Jake's saying too, is it was all about the wide receivers last year. Yeah. Like, it's Bijan, and we actually have quarterbacks in this draft as opposed to last year. Fair. So I think that's kind of putting them more back of mind because it's more about those guys right now than those receivers. But did you want to kind of see where he slots in here, Russ?
Yeah, let's do it. I pulled up the ADP. So in December, he was wide receiver 10. I'm going to go down a little bit because there's two, three interesting names below him. Drake London or Amon-Ra St. Brown?
I would take Amon-Ra easily, but I was lower on London coming in. And
yeah,
then
I know some people, I don't know Jake's take on London. And I know some people, like, if you like London, you like London. So
it's, I know we're supposed to value talent above all else with wide receivers. I do not value the wide receiver in the Atlanta Falcons right now. And I'm fine with taking the hit if it turns out that he's great, but I won't do it right now.
Oh, see, that's the great thing about being in like 20 leagues. You have the chance to get a just in case share. Like, I have one share of Drake London, one share of Jameson Williams, one share of Ken Walker. Like, I have one share of a lot of most people, just in case. Even if I don't really believe in them. DK Metcalf or Amon-Ra St. Brown?
That's a tough one.
I'd take DK.
I think I go DK.
He's
hit higher heights.
And DK is wide receiver 12, by the way. It's only a three-spot actual difference in ADP, but he is wide receiver 12. And above him is Garrett Wilson.
Interesting.
I would take Amon-Ra St. Brown just because of Jets.
Yep. Yeah, I would take
really Amon-Ra like Garrett too. Wilson, and he's shown that he can be very good in this league. And I was thrilled that the Jets were willing to bench Zach Wilson, but that also I have to now trust them to make the right decision for their next quarterback when they went from Sam Darnold to Sam Darnold.
Yeah. Also keep in mind, they were willing to bench Zach Wilson. They were also willing to play Zach Wilson again. So how much do we really trust their intellect in this situation?
Everybody went and got hurt after that. I mean,
but like you could have started, I swear you could have started Michael Carter at quarterback and I would have had more confidence in the team.
Yes. I would have been so happy. He'd have been starting in all my fantasy spots.
It's still music to my ears to hear people rip Zach Wilson consistently now.
Rocky was right about, so he just needs to relish in it.
Yes, I've been taking that victory lap, yes.
Absolutely.
Okay, so let's go a few players above him. Now, age is going to be a big one in this one. Tyreek Hill or Steph Diggs versus Amon-Ra St. Brown?
Wow. Stephon Diggs is 29 going on 30, am I correct in that?
They are 2 months apart from each other.
Oh, wow.
Stephon Diggs is 29 and Tyreek Hill is 28.8.
Oh, well, it's that 0.8. It's that 0.2 difference that
for
me with Tyreek Hill. I'm still more willing to, like, I think with Tyreek Hill, I know that the cliff is coming, but the cliff could look a lot like DeSean Jackson, where it's not going to be like all of a sudden you're irrelevant. It's just going to be like, oh, you're going to notice, and hopefully you have the window to trade him away. Amon-Ra St. Brown, I still believe, yes, you're a very good wide receiver. I don't trust the Detroit offense, I guess, as much as everybody else does right now. I think it's on a little bit of a high that will come back down.
I think I take both the vets over Amon-Ra right now. It's close-ish to me, but I'd still take them. They're just so good still. I don't care that they're 28-29. Yeah.
And especially Diggs, it has nothing to do with speed with him. He's just such a good route runner. And I have to be honest, I haven't watched enough Tyreek Hill to know if it's just about speed with him or what else it is. But they show no signs of slowing down. And for part of the season, playing like three snaps the entire season, DeSean Jackson had the fastest on-field speed for a while. So like, it doesn't always happen. And I know comparing an outlier to an outlier seems like really bad process, you know? But I'll take the older guys over them. Cause how long of its window do you play for? Like to even say 2 years feels weird, because not only has the NFL gotten to the point where stability is out the window between quarterbacks and coaches and anything, where people will get traded or fired or whatever or anything for seemingly no reason out of nowhere. And also because how long do players stay on your teams? Like, that's the next thing I need to try and find out. Who's been on my team the longest? Of like, you know, it's probably the answer is like De'Ami Brown, because I drafted him and no one ever wanted him from me. But, you know, like a player of like consequence, how long they've been on my team. Above that, I think it's kind of going to, okay, so there's Chris Olave, T. Higgins, Jalen Waddle, CeeDee Lamb, A.J. Brown, and I'm not going to chase in Jefferson. Are there any of those players you would take Amon-Ra over?
I guess I could see a path for Amon-Ra over Chris Olave. Even though I loved Olave coming into the season, I still maintain that he's going to be a really good wide receiver in this league, and he came out fast. But you're right. I don't know what their plan at quarterback is. I thought I knew, and then Jameis Winston gets hurt, and they won't bring him back in, and that's frustrating as all hell. So I guess I don't know what their approach is there. Again, talent-wise, I still think he's going to be fantastic.
Yeah,
but I would put him up against Amon-Ra in that category anyhow, so it's kind of a coin flip for me.
To me, I'm a little even more, I think, easily on the Amon-Ra end of that one. As much as you and Bosch love Olave, and I do like Olave, Amon-Ra was 4 points ahead of him per game this year, which is pretty significant. And he was banged up, but he also had like no competition the second half of this year, and he did not do what Amon-Ra St. Brown did. Like, everyone made that excuse, oh, well, it's all the lack of competition. And it's not like – I do say, you know, Goff is a legit quarterback, but it's not like he's leaps and bounds ahead of Andy Dalton either, I would say. So we have not seen Olave do what Amon-Ra St. Brown has already done and then sort of – did a facsimile of this year. He wasn't quite as good, but very good still. So I would still definitely go Amon-Ra over Olave. Amon-Ra has proved a lot more to me. And we don't know what the QB situation is going to be in New Orleans anyway. So where I think Goff is definitely probably there for at least next year.
I'm actually with you. I agree completely with pretty much everything you just said. The answer is, like you said, easily. I don't think it's easy for me. Like, I think it's pretty close to the point where, well, it shouldn't happen. If I saw someone trade one for the other, I'd just be like, all right, cool. Go get the guy you like. But I'll take the guy who's on this somewhat steady offense, who we know who the quarterback is. And like, the Saints don't have a first or money. So it's going to be tough for them to get a quarterback.
Yep.
Okay. So next we have at OMG, it's J Brew. I asked, what should we talk about? Anything and everything. We're on our way for that. Question, what should Rocky ask Jake? What kind
is that,
of...
Is that supposed to be beer?
He said, what kind of bear is best? Now,
do you have a polar or bear,
or is that supposed to say beer?
I hope that's a Dwight Schrute reference, but I don't know if it is for a fact or not. What kind of bear is best? That's what I'm hoping they were going with, but I truly don't know. I'm prepared to answer both. By the way,
I think I want to hear both.
Okay. I will say, starting with bear, what kind of bear is best? I'm going to go polar bear. You know why? Because I just got a dog just in the last like 3 weeks that looks exactly like a polar bear to the point it's a Great Pyrenees. We haven't had a dog for a while. We adopted a dog recently. It's great. It's going well. His name is Banks. People have told me, like, if your holiday card next year is not him with an old school Coca-Cola bottle next to him, like something's gone wrong. That's an old reference too. We're alienating all the children in this podcast, but that's fine.
Get off our lawn.
We'll go with polar bear based on that.
That is also a giant fluffy white thing. Like,
it really is.
How big is yours? Is it a baby or is it?
He's 2 years old. He's 75 pounds right now, but he's going to get, because he's a little malnourished, he's going to be like 90 to 100 pounds. He's going to be a big fella. It's going to be great.
Never wear black again.
The fur melts into you. It's fine. Yeah. You get used to it. But that's why I choose polar bear. Also, it's the only one I think I could fight. I don't think I could fight any other bear. I feel like just because of the fluffiness, I'd be lured into a fight with a polar bear. I'd lose, but I think I could do it. With a beer, though, it gets much more challenging. I love, and you don't see it a lot these days, a red ale. Like, an Irish red ale is my jam. We went to Ireland last year, my wife and I, and I got to have all of the red ales that I ever wanted. And it was like a dreamscape. It was wonderful.
That is not what I expected at all. And yeah, I legitimately can't remember the last time I had a red ale. Like, Killian's is the only thing that's coming to my head right now.
Yeah. It's like the best of both worlds. It's not hoppy, but it's not like super sweet. It's this thing right in the middle. I'm playing to the middle of America or the middle of Ireland, I guess, with this answer. I don't know, but I love it.
All right, and what do we have next? What was his New Year resolution? Just trying to be a better dad / husband. 4 boys under the age of 7.5.
Ooh. Wow.
Godspeed, man.
I can't say that I envy the situation in like 5 years from now with that age group of what that's going to look like under the house. I grew that up with living in basically only brothers. Yeah, it was it was rough.
I have 4, but not all boys and not all within 7 or so years of each other. So good luck with that.
So glad we stopped.
By the way, his donut question is the exact right answer, by the way.
Yeah, his favorite donut, maple donut with bacon bits on top. And he's like, don't knock it till you try it. Who is knocking that?
Yes, that is the best.
That's wonderful. Yeah.
That sounds great.
Anything with bacon on it is good.
And another smart man, his favorite alcoholic beverage, any whiskey or bourbon. And the players he's going after, Deontay Johnson and Jacoby Myers.
I mean, Myers is cheap.
You can get them both pretty cheap at this point. I mean, I guess that's a good thing to go after right now. Like you said, Wilson and Kyler, you might be going after because of their cheaper price. These two guys, I probably don't have to spend a first on Deontay.
I was just going to say, is Deontay a high second at this point?
Yeah. Unless you have someone who believes that with a better offensive line, the Steelers can't get worse. Like, it'd be okay, that's a lie. It would be really hard for the Steelers to get worse. Yeah. They can. And, like, I don't really believe in Pickett all that much in general. But, like, still, if the dude has more than half a second before he has to lose the ball or lose his life, he could throw a little bit more accurately. So, like, I think Deontay could do better. But even still, at the price you're getting him at, there's, like, no risk to it.
Yeah, it almost feels like less of a belief in Pickett. What's your belief level in George Pickens right now? And do you think, like, is that dude, as exciting as he is, do you think that dude is the number one in that offense? Because the targets right now say differently. Obviously, as a rookie, yeah. I get it. That can change and that can elevate. I still feel like at least it's a 1A to 1B conversation right now with the two of them. And I don't think people are factoring that in. I think because Pickens is at least sexy and Deontay Johnson is the exact opposite of that right now. And so, yeah, like if you're saying if I can give away a second round, it might be lower than a high second round pick come draft day, come rookie draft day. You might be able to give away a mid second round pick for Deontay Johnson. I would absolutely do
that. I think I would give any second round pick for Deontay Johnson.
Well, of course you would. But like, besides the fact that we have now completely debunked the idea that you can't have two very good fantasy producing wide receivers on the same team, because we have like 12 of them right now, but the Steelers always have. And while you try and say, well, it's different quarterbacks, different this, different that, but it's still Mike Tomlin. That offense has been the same since Jerome Bettis left. Like once he left, they didn't just only run the ball. Like once he left, they started throwing the ball, and it's been the same ever since. You know, it doesn't matter, like, if you want to go back to, like, Manny Sanders and Plaxico Burress, or, like, I mean, go back as far as you want. They've always had two very good wide receivers. Martavis Bryant, hashtag Team Clemson, big wide receiver. I do believe in George Pickens. I said that right. I'll never say Pickens or Pickett and not think I said the wrong one.
Fair.
But I do still think Deontay Johnson can do really well also.
And by the way, he's only definitely locked into Pittsburgh through next. Well,
yeah, one more year.
Yeah, I mean, his contract goes through 24, but they can get out after next year. So it could be a situation changes and possibly for the better. And at that point, he's still only 28, which really like 27 to 29 is generally a wide receiver's prime anyway. So yeah. I don't think we have to tie everything to how bad Pittsburgh might be.
All right, so before we move on to the next question, which is an actual question that didn't do the numbering of answers, like, wait, Rocky, what was your New Year's resolution?
I don't really do New Year's resolutions either. It's sort of in the back of my head. Like, I constantly want to lose weight because I am a chubby guy. But
you have to eat not chicken fingers for that.
Yeah, that helps. Yeah, it's, and stay off the burgers and the pizza too. But but that never seems to pan out. So, but if I was going to give one, that's what it would have been.
All right, and what is your favorite donut?
Oh, well, we already said that. That is the correct answer. Yeah. What he said, nice. The bacon and the maple. Yes.
Now I know Yingling is your go-to, but is that your favorite alcoholic beverage?
It is, because I don't. I think we've talked about this before. I don't really do the liquor thing.
Yeah, you don't.
I don't like whiskey or bourbon or any of that stuff. I stick to beer. It's usually either Yingling, occasionally Corona. I like Corona better for the taste, but it's not really that great of a beer. Like,
do you throw a lime in that thing though? When you do the Corona, do you do the little bit?
I do the lime. Yes.
Yeah, that's the way. That's how I like it.
Just tastes like dirty water to me. and are there any players you're going after right now?
I kind of want to go after Deontay now for a second round pick. I've mentioned Kyler before. Which Jake said earlier, I'm not really, we've talked about this too after the season ended. I'm not really going after anybody necessarily right now. I'm kind of in the relaxing mode, and if people want to send me offers, I'll mess around, but I'm not really looking for guys right now. Probably pretty soon I'll be going after Kirk Cousins in some more spots, though.
Oh, I haven't been a lot, so I'll send you some offers.
I still think he's got a few years left in him, and he's eternally underrated. So
yeah, there's no reason for anything of him to change, because that offense isn't changing, and he's still there. So
yep.
And I will answer these questions. I'm normally not a resolution person myself, but I have been saying the phrase "I mean" so much that it's annoying me. So my resolution is to not start sentences with "I mean." First of all, because like I said, it's annoying, but it's also a way of me trying to be non-confrontational. It's like saying technically. Well, technically you're right, which is just like a nice way of saying you're wrong. Like, I mean, yeah, but like, so that's my resolution. Like, I want to not say that as much. Favorite donut, like my real favorite donut is a Boston cream.
Oh, I love Boston cream too. That would be number two for me.
Yeah, maple bake, like that's just effing wonderful. Like, you go for that anytime you see it. But like, Boston cream is just much more accessible.
Yes,
true.
Yeah, I'm a whiskey guy. My easy go to is Jameson, because it is literally just like the bland whiskey that you're just like, okay, I could drink this. If I want to go for whiskey that I actually like, Redbreast and Writer's Tears are two of my favorite.
This is the only thing I've disagreed with you on in this, maybe this entire podcast, maybe in life, is Redbreast. I don't like Redbreast at all. I had it when I was over in Ireland. We did a sample, a random blind taste test of whiskeys. I hated it. With a vengeance. I couldn't deal with it. It had too much like smoky something, harshness. Like, I don't know.
See, it's really funny because I don't think it is. Like, I think this has like a fruity background to it, which like, it's like a nice change up to your usual just like whiskey. But also, like, if we're talking like drink, just like we talk, like, give me a whiskey, give me an old fashioned, and I am just like, I feel classy and I am just so happy. And the place I go to a lot for dinner does a smoked old fashioned, where they make you an old fashioned and they bring over like a little wooden tray they put on top. There's wood chips and they take a torch to it and it kizzles. And it's just like they take it off and your glass is smoking and like it's.
Wow. I thought I was fancy going to a place that like made the guacamole at tableside, but this is way above it.
Don't you downplay that. And players I'm going after, honestly, like right now, it has nothing to do with price because you're still going to have to pay. But like, I want to get Breece Hall once or twice before people remember how good he is. You know, we haven't seen the workout video. We haven't seen anything yet. He said he was hailing fast. And that's all I need to hear also. Like, I want at least, I don't have any because I don't draft running backs. I don't like running backs.
That reminds me. I also will, once I start making more offers myself again, I think go after Javonte, because I think everyone's too far down on him at this point.
Yeah, that's me. I'm way too far down.
Yeah. So if you have him, sell him to me.
Oh, I don't have
him. T-M-I-R, baby. Let's go.
So the last question we have is at Noob Engineer. Thank you for the sassy cow eggnog recommendation. Delicious. All right, what is that?
I'm a big nog guy when it comes to the holidays, because I love my whiskey and my bourbon, but you can also make it with brandy, which I think is how most people do. But like gooshed up eggnog, right? Mm-hmm. You have the nog. I don't make it. What am I, a magician? I don't make eggnog. I just buy it from
No one does. It just appears in stores.
Thing. Yeah, exactly. I just buy it. But then you mix it with the liquor of your choice. Again, mine happened to be bourbon. But there's a specific Wisconsin brand of dairy out here called Sassy Cow.
I figured that had to be a Wisconsin thing.
It's wonderful. But I'm glad that they like that.
And the actual question is, how often are you guys getting cute with your team after winning a league? Or do you keep your core and try to win with the guys who got you to the ship previously? Just curious. Thanks. I mean, you have to win before you know, you answer this question, and that's what happened too often with me. Loyalty's for suckers. I mean, let's put it that way. Like, if I like a player, I like a player. If I think they're still going to be good, you know, no player is not available for trade ever. You know, if someone's willing to play to pay my price for it, I'll make the move. Or, you know, if I get a better deal on it, do I go out of my way to destroy teams after I've won? If I get too bored and it's a bad idea, yeah, I'll do it sometimes. But usually I don't go out of my way to completely destroy teams that I've won, unless, like, I see the writing on the wall, like, I completely aged out. You know, like, you had Hopkins and other old players everywhere, you know, like, yeah, maybe then. But otherwise, yeah, maybe, like, I'll keep my core guys and then just have fun with the rest of it. But I'm not too afraid to make a move with a team that just won.
Yeah, I feel like it's so dependent on the specific player. If the bulk of my roster, let's say in 2021, if I could revert back and say at the tail end of 2021, like, one of my best wide receivers was Adam Thielen.
Yep.
Yeah, like, I'm going to be taking those guys, and if I can maximize their little value, even to somebody who thinks that they're a contender and, like, they're going to give me, you know, a second plus or whatever for Adam Thielen, like, I will do that without question. I don't care about the construction of my team post-win. I care about the individual players that I can move down incrementally in age with. But I'm not just going to do it to do it. I think, like you said, Russ, like, I'm not just going to do that just because I feel a certain way about winning. You know, I feel happy about winning, but I would like to take those specific players and be like, yeah, if I can get some balance out of this, I'm going to do that.
Yeah, I'm pretty much with you guys. I'm not worried about making a trade just because I won a championship. I had one that I won last year. But this is young guy for young guy. But it was DeAndre Swift. I ended up getting a trade after I won. DeAndre Swift. And at first, I was sending for Justin Herbert.
That's easy.
Yeah. And but, you know, it's me too, though. So I had to think about it a little bit. But, yeah, everyone said the value is too good. And this is also before last year where I think DeAndre Swift's value was even higher.
So he was like running back three.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, as opposed to where he is now. So, but, and then I won the title again this year. So it ended up working out.
So now you just got to blow the team up. You have no choice. Exactly. That's what happens. You win twice and you're done. You just got
to. There you go.
It's in the rules.
But even with older guys, I'm not opposed to kind of holding on to guys either, though. Like, because a lot of older teams, you're not getting the value that they're going to score in your lineup anyway. So
yeah.
I'm not opposed to kind of making one more run. And unless somebody offers me what I think is enough value for the points I'm going to get, of just kind of, I know everyone's so obsessed with, if you're old, you need to, like Jake said, kind of get younger. And I'm not disagreeing with that, but I'm not opposed to, if I can't get like on teams where I might have like a Zeke and Adams and stuff like that, I'm not opposed to just trying to make another run with that team and then just blow it up.
Oh yeah. I'm going to be stuck with so many Dalvin Cook shares right now.
Yeah. There's a bunch of guys that you're just not going to get anything for in the non-point scoring season. And I don't, like I said, even if I'm old, I don't mind just, you know, let's get this one more shot. Then I know I'm blowing it up and it's going to be at least a year or two before I'm good again.
Yeah. We had no trades before like 5 o'clock today, you know, for the show. I went through and I updated all of my trade baits for the 10 Trade Addicts leagues. And whether I won, whether I lost, I did not put Travis Kelce on any of my trade baits.
I was just about to ask, no BS. Dustin and I in the DTFF podcast were talking about how we whiffed on Travis Kelce for this year. Like, I was all in on him last year, and I just said, this year I'm going to get out before he hits his cliff and the offense adjusts to be to more of a spread offense. And obviously that was stupid and wrong. And don't listen to me about tight ends. But for him right now, he's just a guy who's going to die on your roster.
Yep.
Is that right? Is that fair?
It depends what kind of leagues you're in, and especially what time of year it is, because a lot of people thought, like you did, going into last season. And I remember I did a second chance dispersal in one of my leagues, and I drafted Kelce first, thinking I'll be able to move him, because you're doing a dispersal. Your team's not going to be good coming out. Like, you know that. But still, like, I took Kelsey thinking I'll be able to flip him for a decent amount, and I couldn't get more than a mid-first for him. Like, it was ridiculous. Like, you couldn't get anything. Like, because he was, what, 33? You know? But it don't matter. Like, we see that. He still has Patrick Mahomes as his quarterback. Patrick Mahomes likes throwing him the ball. He's very good at throwing him the ball. And I see no players these days are mostly not human. Like, you know, we think back to like Antonio Gates, and like that was the definition of a human being, a very strong, very good tight end human being, but he was a human being. Travis Kelce, not a human being. DK Metcalf, not a human being. Like, these men are just demigods at this point. Like, and I firmly believe that Travis Kelce will just leave at some point when he's not good anymore. Like, I don't think he's going to magically fall off a cliff or anything. Like, he'll just be like, no, okay, all right. And any player is like that, so you can't really play scared like that. So, I'm going to have Travis Kelce on my team. And if someone is smart and realizes that Travis Kelce is going to still just be very, very, very good and wants to give me... Part of me would want two firsts, but hell, man, like a first and a second, a first this year and a first next year, I would absolutely consider moving him. But like, it's going to take an offer for me to move him, because there's no reason for him not to just keep doing this.
Yeah.
And I think it was Rocky, the first one that ever brought it up. Like, oh no, Travis Kelce falls to like tight end three. Are we set? Like, that's not the worst thing in the world. Like, I mean, that's not bad. Of course, it's not 10 points per game above tight end two, but like, there's a lot of value in tight end three, you know?
Yeah.
So like, there's no reason to be worried about Travis Kelce whatsoever. And so, yeah, he was like the one person I just held on my teams. Well, didn't even bother putting on my trade bait, because I knew I wouldn't get the offer I wanted. And even if I did, I don't want to be confronted with the emotions of having to trade away Travis Kelce right now. Like, I'm not ready for it.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. He's dying on my roster. The only way I'm moving Travis Kelce is if I go into the season thinking I'm contending. I'm not, and then I move him in the season, because that's when you're going to get the most for him. Otherwise, yeah, he's just there until he retires.
And I feel the need to point out that before we start recording, we're like, oh man, we got nothing. This is going to be like a 40-minute show. Well, the counter says an hour 13, but I don't think we actually started till like almost 10 minutes in, but that's still over an hour. And at that point, we are moving up to Trade Addicts Trades. Trade Addicts Leagues, 12-team Superflex PPR tight end premium with 1.75 points per tight end reception, with 0.05 points for return yardage in all leagues except for Trade Addicts 1, which I think I'm just going to put in there and see if anyone notices. I did a comparison about like points amongst players, and there is like no difference whatsoever. Like, out of the top 150 players, Isaiah Pacheco had an extra total 30 points on the season.
And that was the biggest difference.
That was the biggest difference.
One of the Pacheco managers is going to get real salty about not having it the year before. His 30 points last year? I could have used it.
I think I'm just going to add the only way people will know is if I don't keep saying this before.
I was just going to say that they'll hear you not say on the podcast.
Didn't say except for Trade Addicts 1. Let me go check the scoring. But we don't even have one of those today, so we're going to move on to Trade Addicts 2, where someone who will remain nameless, this guy, traded Geno Smith and the 310 for the 210 and a 24 second. And this is one of those things where I think it's kind of fun, because like, even this was with Jerry, who actually also did the other Trade Addicts 2 trade, where he's like, I'm trading 2 seconds for this guy who might just get replaced in the draft, but fun. First of all, I firmly believe Geno is going to be their guy going forward, at least for this next year. They do have the third overall pick, I think it is, and that's a pick too late. While they do have the capital to move up that one pick, because they have at least two firsts and maybe none of two next year, I don't remember anymore. Like, that deal feels like years ago at this point, that I have no idea what they ended up with. But Geno did well enough, and for Pete Carroll, that is well enough. Like, most times, it's usually well enough isn't good enough to keep your job. With Pete Carroll, it absolutely is. And
they made the playoffs.
Yeah, that doesn't...
It does to them, I'm sure. It does to Pete Carroll and the GM.
They will lose their jobs when they don't feel like doing it anymore. Like, they should have been fired 4 or 5 years ago, and they haven't. So it's just never going to end unless they wanted to. Honestly, I had Geno Smith. I'm just like, cool. I took that lightning in the bottle to second place because that's all I'll ever be in a trade addicts league. And I was just like, I'll take 2 seconds. That's fine. Like, I felt good. Does anyone have any strong feelings about Geno or 2 seconds?
Look, I think you will both end up being winners even if Geno Smith is the starter next year. Because what did you get Geno Smith for? Literally nothing. You have ended up with 2 second-round picks for this guy who last year, let's be honest, coming into the last season, did anybody have a super strong opinion about Geno Smith versus Drew Lock?
We weren't ready to call him the starter until like a week before the season when the Seahawks said it.
I mean, nobody could, because how would, again, it's Pete Carroll. How do you truly believe Pete Carroll even knows what Pete Carroll is going to do 3 months from now? I don't. So he doesn't. So nobody does. But once you end up with a starting quarterback and you get 2 second-round picks for him, like if he plays one more year, which to me seems like kind of the threshold, sadly, I love the story of Geno Smith coming back, but it feels like next year he'll start. Maybe he'll light the world on fire again, but maybe he'll just be good enough for one more year before they find their next guy.
Yeah, but that also will probably make him good enough to bridge in other places, but that's not something you really want to chase. But like, honestly, like Geno Smith for like a mid-second feels just like the right, you know, fine for both sides. So to get the 210 and then a 24-second, I'm just like, that's fine. And he's like, just give me a third to make me feel like I won a little bit. And I'm like, okay. What's funny is, these are every pick involved is Jerry's. He sent me his second and 24-second. I sent him his third back.
Nice.
I think I lean Geno a bit here for me. The 210 is just so low. It's such a crapshoot. And he is a starting quarterback. And I get it. It's profit. I agree with Jake. No matter what, it's profit. But he did have the season he just had. I just looked. He was QB7 in points per game, not just overall points. I mean, that's pretty impressive. I think he's definitely the starter next year. Beyond that, it's impossible to predict, but I think he's definitely the starter next year. And I would just need a little more than the 210 and a second that's 2 years out. But I don't think it's a crazy deal or anything.
No, and I am trying to, you know, just to put a little bit of strategy out there. I'm trying to amass seconds at this point this year and next year. First of all, this year and next year are supposed to be very good drafts. So if I end up using them, they should be decent dart throws as opposed to bad dart throws. Cause let's face it, it doesn't matter what year it is. The 210 is not a given anything whatsoever, but also because seconds really just do help deals get done. And that's really what it is. You know, thirds, we joke in the phrase is thirds get deals done. No, but seconds get deals done. Even if it is the 210, even if it's, you know, the dart throw of 210 last year, when the 210 last year felt like a fourth, but like still you throw a second in a trade and it gives it heft, like, you know, so like, that's really why I did this. And again, we don't, you know, normally we don't give context, but when it's one of ours, you know, that's why we're here, because it's my trade. I want to freaking talk about it. Do you know my QB4? You know, like, well, you know, I have 4 startable QBs, which is weird for me to have more than 2. So I'm like, all right, whatever. I don't need 4 QBs. Screw it.
Yeah, that makes it easier for me to do 2. If I have 4, I might take a 210 instead of getting the 205 or something.
Yeah. But you know what's super easy to do?
Sleeper, trade of the week. Sleeper, trade of the week. We're going to talk about a trade addict's trade, and it's sponsored by the Sleeper app.
Always makes me happy. I love it. So another Trade Addicts 2 trade, and this was a big boy, so that's why this is the Trade Addicts Sleeper Trade of the Week. Jonathan Taylor and Allen Robinson for A.J. Dillon, Chuba Hubbard, and I wrote Michael Putman, but it is actually Michael Pittman. I'm so like, and I had to stare at it. I'm like, who the heck is Michael? Oh, I'm an idiot. Okay.
So basically Taylor for Dylan and Putman.
And Putman. That is his name now. I'm going to get a Colts jersey with Putman on the back of it. Let's go. So, Jake, what are your thoughts on Jonathan Taylor in general? Right now, is Jonathan Taylor your running back one?
His value is so suppressed right now, in a weird way. This is such a cop-out answer, but let me phrase it this way. Last year, everybody, for the most part, 80% of the populace said, Jonathan Taylor is my running back one. And then maybe 20% was like, maybe CMC is my running back one. The year before that, did anybody have Jonathan Taylor as their running back one? Maybe 20% had Jonathan Taylor as their running back one. 80% had it the complete opposite direction. I'm going to go against the grain for running back perception almost all of the time in these trades, especially when we're talking about the high end, because I don't think we actually know as much as we think we do about who the running back one, two, and three is. So from that perspective, Jonathan Taylor, maybe he's the running back one. He's not my running back one. He's in a group of about five dudes for that right now. And I say, of those five dudes, if I can get any of them in a trade like this, then I'll do it. So for him, Michael Pitt, it's maybe me not loving the Putman as much as everybody else is.
Would it change for you if it was Michael Pittman instead of Michael Putman?
I don't know. Maybe just barely. But even then, I don't think I can't trust a guy who can't use one name all the time, who has to move between it. No, but really, Michael Pittman, even last year I fought against Michael Pittman. I just was like, I mean, the consensus is on this guy. I get some aspect of the talent perspective on him. I still wasn't ready to be like, he's a top 12 guy or can ever be a top 12 guy for me. So I would rather take the guy who's in that chunk of five running backs, which is Jonathan Taylor.
Rock.
Well, yeah, first of all, Bijan Robinson is the RB1. So.
Yeah, that's
but yeah, I'm with Jake, and kind of for the same reason, because Pittman, Putman, whatever you want to call him. I think the idea of Pittman is better than actual Michael Pittman. Everyone thinks he's this, you know, potential beast, and we haven't seen it yet. It's just looking points per game. He's like 13 points per game. And I know the situation was not great this year, but that's nothing special. There's like 20 guys that can get in the range of 13 points or so per game. And I don't know that it's going to improve next year, because who the hell's their quarterback next year? So
Derek Carr
or Aaron Rodgers. But I just don't see it happening. This thing like where Michael Pittman becomes the guy that everybody wants him to be. And AJ Dillon is fine. I mean, I guess Aaron Jones may leave. I don't know if they have an ad. Maybe you know, Jake. Do they have an ad after this year or this past year that's happened, or it'll be next year?
It'll be a lot smoother next year. They could just if they blow it all up, but probably the year after.
Yeah, so we might have another year of the two of them together, where you know he has his you know, when he scores two touchdowns, he's great, and when he doesn't, he usually isn't great. So neither of those is enough for me to move off Jonathan. And I think we're too low. I said this about Javonte too. I think we're too low on Jonathan Taylor too, actually. I mean, he has the offense issues as well that Pittman does, but he was also banged up for a lot of the year. I think he's going to be a little more of a bounce back candidate. He's not going to probably be RB1 next year, but like Jake said, in that group of guys that has the potential to do it. And if they just are a little better offensively, which maybe with a Derek Carr, they will be, maybe with some offensive line improvement next year. I don't think RB1, but I think he's going to be better than we've seen this year, and he's going to have more of those games that we saw in 2021. So I would pretty easily take the Taylor side in this deal.
Yeah, it's really funny. Like, I agree with everything both of you have pretty much said about Jonathan Taylor. He's not running back one for me. I was never happy with the price. Like, he was RB1 by default, mm-hmm. just of age. And age Not to say he's bad. He did well. I liked him coming in. Wisconsin running backs, you know, it's just, you know, they're good. And I'll never get over how many games it took for him to catch up to Derrick Henry that year where Derrick Henry got hurt like seven games in, and it took another seven games for Jonathan Taylor to catch up to Derrick Henry's score. So yeah, he was RB1 by default. So his price got way too high because he was RB1, but this is a good price. Like, not to say that you're buying Jonathan Taylor and then all of a sudden he's going to go back to what he was, but like, let's say he goes back to top eight running back. This is a fantastic price to pay for that. You know, could AJ Dillon be a thing if they actually use him and he doesn't do as bad as he did for like the first 10 ish games of this season? And Chuba, I like as a player, but I don't think he's going to be a guy. So yeah. And I do like Pittman, but I have absolutely, he's not going to be a top 12 wide receiver. It's just, and if he does like 1 year, it'll be because other guys got hurt and just the right things clicked, and it's not going to happen again next year. But like, so yeah, like if I'm going to buy Jonathan Taylor, which I most likely never will anyway, this is a very palpable price. Like, I'm okay with this. But also, if I have Jonathan Taylor and I don't believe in him, Pittman and A.J. Dillon's not terrible.
The only thing diverting me away from that side of this trade is the fact that I would have to accept Allen Robinson coming onto my roster. That's like almost enough to make me not want to do it.
How did he just do nothing this year?
I know.
I love Allen Robinson. All right. Well, and that is your trade of the week, brought to you by the Sleeper Fantasy app, the fastest growing fantasy football platform in the world. Join a new dynasty league or migrate yours to their platform and enjoy how easy they make it to manage all your leagues in one place. Join millions of players today on Sleeper, the number one fantasy football platform. Download the app today to get started. And we have one more blockbuster of a trade. Rocky, why don't you just... In Trade Addict 6, tell us about this one.
Trade Addict 6, Antonio Gibson for the majestic 210 pick. Jake, what do you think?
There's a lot riding on the 210 this week.
It's a ton. 210 is a lot of value this week.
Guys, what do we do? Is this what this episode was all about? Was trying to really narrow down the value of this 210 going forward?
You're good. I can't believe you picked up on that.
I'm very astute. I would go with the hopeful, still at this point, upside of Antonio Gibson versus the 210 in this draft.
And I'm the one who sent the 210 for Gibson, and that's what I was basically thinking. I also have like 2 seconds and 3 firsts in that league.
Who sent the offer?
J. Mike.
So he sent you Antonio Gibson looking to get the 210 from you
for that specific pick. Yeah, he sent I have 3 seconds, I think, and he picked that one, which I think is the lowest.
Yeah, and I have to be honest, while I am not really for acquiring running backs now, I probably would have said yes too. Antonio Gibson was a top 20 fantasy running back. And yeah, Brian Robinson didn't start the season, and there was a lot of weird ups and downs with who they were giving the ball to. But especially with the way I create my teams, like, I'm absolutely fine going into the season with just Antonio Gibson and then figuring out running back a little later, you know? Like you said, like, who cares? It's the 210. That's why you have the 210, is to make moves like this.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking. Like, it's worth a roll of the dice to see if Gibson can and it's not like Brian Robinson was gangbusters at the end of the year. Himself.
Exactly, yeah.
So I think there's a decent chance. And we saw when Gibson, for a certain stretch of the season, was almost like became when McKissick got hurt. Became their pass catching back, so maybe they use him more in that capacity, and maybe he takes more of the rushing work from Robinson.
Done with those hopes and dreams. Like, I
no, but he did. He was catching. No,
I'm not going to like expect it to be a thing.
You like, mean with McKissick healthy?
Situationally, it might happen, but he will not be that guy. And if I am pleasantly surprised if he becomes that, that's great. But I am not going to hinge my hopes on it.
No, but it wasn't just that. Like, the stats, he was going on the field in passing situations because McKissick was not healthy.
That's the concern, is why did it take J.D. McKissick to go down for him to get utilized in that way? Like, that's still the red flag in the back of my brain.
We've been saying that,
like,
since he came in the league. Yeah.
But it's like Doug Peterson's love of Darren Sproles.
Yeah.
You know, like,
it's always mind-boggling. Like, he came in, we weren't sure if he was going to be designated as a wide receiver or a running back, and they refused to let him catch the ball out of the backfield for his first 2 years. It's like, what the hell? But yeah, it was a pretty easy, and it's not even like I'm depending on, and this team is sort of mid-rebuild, but I actually have some other kind of Antonio Gibson-ish type. I have Pollard, I have Rashad White, so I even have a few other guys I can kind of mix around in there.
But you don't have Josh Jacobs.
I do not have Josh Jacobs.
I finally was able to trade him away after like 12 weeks. But that is the end of our show sheets. That's going to be the end of our show. It is always a pleasure to have your beaming personality and face on our show, Jake. So why don't you, before we leave, remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where they could find what you do.
Well, thank you guys for bringing me on. Nobody should ever be able to say that there's an easier podcast to come on from just like a chopping it up perspective than the Trade Addicts podcast. It is my favorite. So thank you guys very much. I'm out there on Twitter at Jake Trowbridge. If you want, feel free. If not, Drinking and Talking Fantasy Football, that's a fun one. That's a good podcast. Ball Blast Fantasy Football Podcast, that's another fun podcast. And also follow and subscribe to Matthew Berry's Fantasy Life newsletter.
Yes, do all of that now. Now, like, we're wrapping this up. You don't really need to listen. You've heard me say this stuff before, so keep us playing, but do all that stuff. Our stuff, patreon.com/tradeaddictspod. You could pull a Dustin, the co-host from Drinking Talking's Fantasy Football, and just log on to hear someone talk bad about you and then leave. Because you do get the link to watch us record this live and enter into our chat to let us know that you are here to hear us talk bad about you. And also we have the GroupMe chat, the Cool Kids Club, which is an awesome, hopping good time. And ffpodshirts.storeenvy.com. Did we put them out? Because I know there is a Scott Fish playoff league. And there may be some apparel coming out for that. And as always, every single penny that comes into that store goes straight to Fantasy Cares. So you will get some awesome stuff. Kids will get some awesome stuff for the holidays. Everybody wins. And as I didn't realize, I say like every single show, I'm about to win by going to bed because I'm ready for it. So thank you, everyone, and good night.
Good night. Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts, and a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FS Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy fans, that is the best. See ya.